The sermon title today is A Love That Is Demonstrated. If you would turn with me to begin with to John chapter 13 today. John chapter 13 and verse 34. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says a new commandment. We know that this is not a new commandment. We're always, from the very beginning, supposed to share God's love and always reach out to others through the love of God. But this was going to be a new commandment to the disciples because they were going to start living it. They were going to start practicing and putting it in practice. So John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And let me ask you, how is love demonstrated? It's demonstrated by giving. Love is demonstrated by giving. So we can say, no, Pastor, he's going to start talking about giving more money to the church. And the answer is absolutely not. I'm not going to talk about that today. In reality, our giving of finances to the work of the Lord is supposed to be an outflow of a giving heart. So the monies that I give, my tithe, my offering, is an outflow of the giving heart I have because of the love of God that I want to show to everyone else. That is filled with the love of God and a love for others. So let's set money to the side. We're not talking about money today. Do you realize or recognize that from the moment that you are saved, God is going to spend the rest of your life teaching you about giving? Let me say that again. Do you realize that God is going to spend the rest of your life, since you came into the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's going to spend the rest of your life teaching you about giving? Through your love for God, you will reach out to others through giving. So turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. In Matthew 22, verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, what did we say earlier? Love is demonstrated by giving. So how else could we read this passage of Scripture today? I will love God by giving to God, and I will love others by giving to others. Amen. That is the fulfillment of the commandment. If you love God, you're going to share it, you'll show it through your giving. Your giving of your love, your giving of your time, your giving of your talents, the giving of your devotion to the Lord God. And if you love others, then you will show it to them through the expression of giving to them. Immediately, our minds go to the monetary. But no, we're not talking about the monetary today. If we love God, we will show it through our obedience, by following His commandments, reaching out to others, by our time and our talents. And yes, as an outflow, we will also give through our tithe. If I love others, I will give to them. So when we go back to John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35, how did Jesus show He loved us? By giving to us and for us, because He gave His life. What greater expression of love could there be for all of humanity to give your very own life? People outside the church will see that we are His disciples because we show a love that is demonstrated to other people. How is love demonstrated? Love is demonstrated by giving. So now look at John chapter 15 and verse 12. John 15 and verse 12. In John chapter 15 and verse 12 it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, how did Jesus love us? He loved us by laying his life down for us. Do we have that sacrificial love in our life that we are going to demonstrate our love for the body of Christ by sacrificial giving? Sacrificial giving is loving when there's no response back. Sacrificial giving is loving someone when maybe we think in our own mind that they do not deserve it, because we are ministering to the need that is in their life. If we always look for the response, if we always look for the right people to give to, and we always look for the right people to share our love with, then you will miss the need. Our world is missing the need. How did Christ demonstrate his love? By giving, by the giving of his own life. John chapter 3, verse 16. God so what? God so loved the world. How did God demonstrate his love for us? By the giving of his own son. His love was demonstrated.
Amen.
Now think about it. When you didn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the only love that you recognized was a fleshly love. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, what I deserve, what you owe me, what you need to do in return for me. A spiritual love is other-directed. It's not self-directed. It's walking in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. So Jesus, God demonstrated his love for us by the giving of his own son, and Jesus demonstrated his love to us by giving his own life. The money that you put in the collection plate should be an outflow of a giving heart. Knowing in my heart, I can't outgive God for what God has done for me. God has given you eternal life. Can you ask for anything more? I don't care if God never heals me. I don't care if God never delivers me from another sickness that I might have. I've already got eternal life in my bank, and nobody can take it away from me. Amen. A heart that is filled with the love of God, you can give without giving. You can give without giving of yourself. Now listen to me. I'll say that again. A heart that is not filled with the love of God, you can give but not give of yourself. You can give with no love attachment. There are people that give a lot of money to different and various things, but they have a lot of money. They're not really giving of themselves. They're just giving. But when you outflow from your heart, because I am putting this money or these things in the collection plate, I am investing in life, in the other people's lives, it's because of the love of God that I want to invest. I want to invest in his kingdom. It's for the love of the body of Christ that I want to invest in your life. We are all ministers in that way that we come here. Last Sunday, I was so excited. Of course, everybody was excited because we had 116 people here. And everybody was excited because we were looking for a place to sit down. But when you hit those back doors, you could feel the love of God. And you could feel and sense the joy in people's lives. People were exuberant. People were happy. And it was just the love that was being shared from one person to another person. It needs to always be that way in the house of the Lord, because we have a lot of love to share, and we need to be sharing it with other people.
Amen.
Because that's what he wants us to do. Why is giving so important to God? And why does he want to teach us to have a giving heart? Because it is in direct opposition of your old nature. What's in it for me was my old nature. It's all about me is my old nature. So when you talk about having the love of God and you're wanting to share love with other people from the love of God, and you're wanting to share love with God out of the abundance of your heart because of what He has done for you, that is an opposite direction of your old nature. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is a verse that you're all very, very familiar with, but sometimes we don't read quite as much as what we're going to read today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. In verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for what? Themselves. But for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we are no regard to one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So my old way of life, my old nature, my old desires, my old direction in my life has passed away, and now I'm walking in the newness of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it also is in regards to love and also giving to other people. In verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as committed to us, what? The word of reconciliation. How are you going to help reconcile somebody else? By giving to them out of the love of God. You have the greatest gift in your life that dwells within your life, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. You want to share that with other people. I want people to feel the same presence of God that I feel in my life. I want people to feel those goosebumps that go up and down your arm when you're touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want them to have the same thing I have today. So how do I reach them? I reach them by love and by giving to them. And what am I giving to them? I'm giving them the love of Jesus. This world needs the love of Jesus more than it does anything else. The people in this church need the love of one another and the love of Jesus more than anything else. People in the world are searching and looking and trying to find and trying to find and trying to find, and they cannot find it because it is not available to them, because it's only available to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's why we're a lighthouse on the top of a hill. This old nature is supposed to be gone from my life. He says in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen. The flesh is all about taking and not giving. When you talk about this scripture and you're going to walk in the newness of this life, it's a totally opposite of what your nature says. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Now Galatians chapter 5, and I'll give you a kind of a little bit of a background before we actually read the scripture. But when we read Galatians chapter 5, who is the Apostle Paul speaking to? He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to you and I. So when we go to Galatians chapter 5, and we go to verse 13, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." It's a warning to the church. It's a warning to the believer. We still have opportunities for the flesh. We still have an opportunity to get over in the flesh. We are making the conscious decision that I am going to walk in the newness of my life. I'm not going to walk in my old standard of living any longer. And you know what? There's too many Christians that haven't made that decision. They're still wanting the salvation from Jesus. They still want to have Jesus in their heart and life. They still want to have that eternal security that they have from the Lord Jesus, but they still want to walk in the way that they used to walk. It doesn't work that way, does it? He says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. So am I going to walk in my old nature, and I'm going to walk in my new nature? If anybody has ever made you mad, you have plenty of an opportunity to get back into your old nature. You have to deny yourself and say, no, I'm going to walk in the newness of my life in Jesus Christ. I am not going to walk in my old nature anymore. That is past. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That used to be a part of my life, but it is not a part of my life anymore. It's a conscious decision that we make sometimes daily. He goes on to say, but if you are led, in verse 18, by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, and heresies. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's our old nature. It's all about me. It's all about what I want to have. It's all about me. It's not about the other person. So, in this scripture, in verse 24 and 25, it says this, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The outflow of making that decision is verse 19 through 21. 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. So this is the outflow of the flesh. And all of those things, the flesh, I'm in the business of taking, not giving. It's all about me, what I can get from you. Now verse 22 for 23, in verse 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That is about you. It's not about me, it's about you. And if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to respond in that manner. Because of my love for God and my love for others, I will demonstrate that love by giving. The world that we live in today needs more than anything else for you to demonstrate God's love by giving them Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. See, it's all about giving. Do you know what the people of Crossroads Gospel Church need? For you to just demonstrate the love of God by giving to one another, whether you receive from them or not. The world is all about quid pro quo. You do this for me, and I will do this for you. Couples, marriage, it's not a 50-50, it's all 100%. And if you think marriage is 50-50, you're wrong. Too many marriages are based on a contract and not a covenant. And it's a covenant relationship that we've entered into. It's not you give 50, I give 50, and I give 50 to you, and you give 50 back to me. It's 100% me give to my wife, and 100% my wife gives back to me. You do this, and I will love you. If you don't do this, I will not love you. 99.5% of the marriages in the United States are a flesh-based love and not a spirit-based love. Even in the church. So I'm being hard on you couples today. Now, I'm smart enough to know it takes two people, both working together. And some of you have gone through the tragedy of a divorce because maybe so-and-so wasn't willing to work together. But if we come together in a covenant relationship, then it's all about that other person. It's no longer about me. It's about them. In our relationship that we have with the church, it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Leo. It's about the body of Christ. And that's where my focus needs to be. I have seen prenup marriage contracts, and all they're accomplishing is getting things in order before the divorce. In this marriage, I am all in 100%. I am dedicated to giving 100% of me to my spouse. Then you need to tell one another that. You need to go home and tell one another that. I'm all in for you. I am all in for you. This will work. We will make this work no matter what. I do not have a backup plan. I do not have an outside of this marriage plan. This is about us. This is about us making it through life. This is about us and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is about us and our relationship with one another. And the only way that we get there is by giving to one another. So let's wrap this up. How much of your love demonstrated to others by giving is dependent upon the response? I want to read that again, because it's a sermon all by itself. How much of your love that you demonstrate to others by giving to them, the giving of yourself, is dependent upon the response that you get back? Is it 25%, 50%, or 75%? Now let me ask you, how much of God's love through the giving of His Son was dependent upon the response? Zero. Think about that. How much of God's love was shared with us by the act of giving, and the act of giving was the giving of His own Son? How much love did Jesus share with us by the act of giving, and the act of giving was the willingness to go to the cross and give His own life for us? How much of that was dependent upon the response, and the response was zero in so many people's lives? How many people do we know in the world today, in just our small community, that are not believers and do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but God still loves them? Their destination is up to them, right? That contract of that covenant is, I enter into a covenant relationship with my Heavenly Father through my faith that I have in Jesus. If I deny Jesus, I have already said this is what my eternal destination will be, and it will be hell, because I am not willing to accept Jesus. But God's love does not move. The prodigal son seat shows us that. No matter how far that we get out away from our relationship with the Lord is still standing there with His arms spread out and saying, if you'll come back to me, I'll receive you. Amen. I'll receive you. In the church, in the body of Christ, we must never stop ministering to other people. The love of God does not matter what the response is. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now, and you can write it down. If the church does just exactly that, if it ministers love to other people, not depending on the response from other people, you will not be able to stop this church from growing. Because outside will see that we have something, that we are disciples of Jesus. Why? It's because we have love for one another, and it's non-existent in society. Non-existent. Our love for others demonstrated through giving. It should never be dependent upon the personality nor the response. Otherwise, you will never reach the need. If we look at homeless people and say, you know what, they're just dumb people. They can go get a job, They can do what we did. They can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and they can go to work, and they can find a job, and they can get themselves off the street. If you're not willing to give the love of Jesus to those people, you will not meet the need of those people in their lives. Our love. We must have the attitude that I will stop ministering to the body of Christ no matter what that person says, no matter what that person does. I will not stop loving them. I will not stop caring for them. I will not stop giving to them, because that's what I've been called to.
Amen.
And that's what you've been called to, is that kind of love. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just thank you, Father, for the love that you shared with each and every one of us. And we desire to be an example of Jesus to other people. I desire to be that example. I desire to be that witness. I desire to be giving to other people, to show them love, even when there is zero response coming back. And I pray that you would bless that upon each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.